The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Well, tantrums, from rushing out the door in the morning to bedtime battles at night. How can parents deal with tantrums and respond in a way that actually helps rather than make things worse? To talk us through it, I'm delighted to be joined by psychologist Aisling O'Connor. You're very welcome to the show, Aisling. And look, tantrums, every parent, I think, has experienced them at some point. Their child's tantrums, never mind their own tantrums. What are the main causes?
Thank you for having me on. Okay, so what I'd love everybody to think of when a child is having a tantrum is it's actually just a child expressing themselves, expressing something that they need or expressing something that doesn't feel okay for them. So it's actually a positive thing, right? It's
okay, they're communicating with you as opposed to having bad behaviour.
Exactly. So if we don't catch them quick enough, or if it continues and we don't deal with it in the right way, that's when you see bigger behaviours. Exactly. So what we want to think about in those moments is just stop and ask yourself, what is my child trying to communicate to me right now? That's going to be most helpful.
Are there signs that a tantrum is brewing, that a tantrum is on the way?
Yeah. So I guess when a child is ever really tired, really hungry, a child is sick, you're going to see them a lot more often. Okay, you're going to see that dysregulation is a word we use to talk about when they're not able to cope with the situation. So what you're looking at is you're going to hear the whiny voice. You're going to hear them not listening or see them not listening. Some parents describe it as being defiant. You might see them like slowing up whatever activity they're doing, like trying to get out the door in the morning. The child might be taking ages to put on their shoes or not putting on their jacket or not brushing their teeth, etc. And the parent is getting more and more upset because they need to get out the door. They're all little telltale signs that something's coming. And that you might see them just kind of pushing back. If you ask them to do something, there might be a straight no. They're all the little telltale signs, I should say, that, you know, you can kind of almost expect that it's coming next.
Okay, so you see the tantrum coming or your mid-tantrum. So let's just go for it. You see it's coming. What's the best way to handle it and try and stop it from ever developing?
Yep. Okay, so this is the number one thing that's going to help, and it's the hardest thing, but it's for a parent to stay calm.
I knew you were going to say that.
I know. I'm sorry. So really, right, I want every parent that hears this to hear me say this really important piece. You not staying calm or not being able to stay calm is not your fault, right? Your brain in that moment has perceived that there's danger due to your own childhood. And so the number one thing you can do if you want the tantrums to be easier is to do that little piece of work for yourself, on yourself, to be able to remain calm in the moment. And when I say calm, it's not necessarily you're like Zen parent, but it's more that you're grounded in that you're in control of the situation. So you're not just totally losing it.
Okay. Because, and how do you do that in the moment yourself, particularly if it's not something you're particularly skilled at?
Right. Okay. So it's not a quick fix. This isn't a quick fix. Okay. So it's about learning in that moment that you're actually safe as an adult, which sounds a bit strange. But if I've got a little bit of time to explain it to you, when you're little, let's say you were grown up and you weren't allowed to have a tantrum or a meltdown, you got in trouble or a parent shouted at you, your brain automatically knows that that's danger. So then when a child does the exact same thing in front of you, your brain doesn't know any different. It automatically thinks it's dangerous and it goes into the survival brain. So it's about slowing things down as a parent now. Can you prepare the lunches the night before? Can you get the lunch bags the school bags ready? What can you do to make the morning calmer for everybody, first of all, to set it up? And secondly, in the big moment, if you notice it coming, step away. So step away from your child and say, I need a moment to calm my body. I will be back in 1 minute. This is nothing you've done. Go out of the room, go get a glass of water, go brush your teeth, and then come back and go, right, okay, I've caught it. Now let's start that again. And then try and spend a little bit of time just connecting with your child for a few seconds only, if it can take, and then hopefully you can all get out the door by camera.
Okay, so this is connect before you correct. Read this on Instagram recently. Really liked it. Okay, I know what you're trying to say to me here, but I also know what it's like to be standing at the front door at 8:40 when you know the school gate's about to shut and you're saying, please put on your coat. I've asked you now, put on your coat. Where's your bag? Did you leave your... And in that moment, it can be really, really hard.
And it can. And it's like that for everybody. And the other thing that's really important to remember is 70% of parenting is rupture and repair, meaning we're having these little mini fallouts, we're shouting, and then we're fixing it afterwards. And 30% is only getting it right. So we don't need to be perfect parents, okay? The more often that we can get it a little bit, you know, more about connection and not like getting cross and angry, the better. But we don't have to do it all the time. So just forgive yourself if you don't get it right and make sure you repair. Go back and repair it that evening or, you know, whenever the next opportunity comes.
Okay, when it comes to the actual tantrum happening, we're talking about, yes, you know, being, let's say, in a supermarket and you've just refused mm-hmm. them a packet of Pringles. For example, and they're now on the floor and they're wailing. Yeah. I mean, do you just let that play out or do you try and intervene?
That really does depend on how strong you're feeling, okay? Because it is incredibly difficult when there's a line of people watching you, right? So some parents in that moment would prefer to scoop their child up, bring them out to the car and then regulate them in the car. So you're talking to them, you're kind of rocking them, depending on the age of the child, you're doing whatever, reflecting back to them. If you're in the shop and you're able to hold that space in the shop, then it is about just letting them have it, sitting beside them, picking them up if they let you, just, you know what I mean, if you've got that capacity. But honestly, most people probably will just want to wrap them up and get them out of the shop and then do the regulation and the connection outside. So it really depends on you.
Bedtime, because that's when it can be difficult, because you're at the end of your tether, it's been a long day and the child is tired, and children are never at their best when they are that tired, and they really do struggle, I think, to regulate in those moments. What's the best way to play that out?
Is work on your own expectations. Right. So if you go into bed thinking, oh my God, my child has been this, my child has been that, I just need time to myself, this is so unfair, and you've got all these little things in your head, which is completely normal, then you're going to find it much harder to stay that regulate, you know, stay the calmer, regulated parent. Whereas if you go into it going, oh my gosh, my child's having a hard time, what do they need right now? Okay, realistically, this is going to take me an hour. I'm just going to pause what I thought I needed to do downstairs for a while, and I'm going to give my everything to this next half hour, whatever it takes in your house. Go into it with that expectation and remind yourself, attachment is your child's greatest need in the whole world. And your child mightn't have seen you today. They mightn't have seen enough of you in their opinion. You know, there can be so much going on. Bedtime can be scary. You know,
I think parents will worry sometimes that responding gently, which I do actually think works 9 times out of 10, way better than giving out, means that you're actually giving in to them.
Yep.
Is that a real risk?
I get that it's a concern, but it isn't a real risk. Okay. I promise it's not. The thing is that you want a child to always feel safe to come to you. Think about this as the long game. You want a child to feel safe, that you're their safe place. No matter what's happening for the rest of their lives, they can turn to you. And that starts from when they're really little. So you still have to have firm rules. And that's boundaries. So you're still setting a boundary. So your example of the shop, I only spoke to a mom today about this, actually. She used to go into the shop, and every time she'd go into the shop, the child would want a toy. And it would end up with the child having a massive meltdown. So she stopped going into the shops with her child. And now that's obviously not feasible for everybody. But what she started to do then is she started to introduce boundaries. So before she goes into the shop, she makes it very clear, now, today, we're not getting any toys. We're just going in for milk or whatever they're going in for. And she said after like 3 or 4 times of really sticking to that, the child doesn't ask anymore.
Yeah, so that's particularly like if you stay calm in that moment.
Exactly.
As you say.
Okay. And not punish them, not give out to them. And you have to be consistent. Okay. Right? That's important.
Okay. I'm going to just do some box breathing here. I'm going to work on myself. We're going to have to take a quick break. But psychologist Aisling O'Connor, some really good advice there for parents. I know it's difficult in the moment. And as you say, it's not a quick fix. It's something you just have to learn to do yourself, but yourself and your child will benefit in the long term. Okay. Aisling, thanks for taking the time to speak to us.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.